All of you, for the delay and a few technical issues, I just want to double check everybody online can hear us. Is that okay?
Yep. Okay, we can hear you.
Yep. Yeah, we can hear you.
Yep.
Okay, great. I would like to welcome everyone to the meeting. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of things committee items. I remind members of their obligations under the Council's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have any such interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber for the duration of discussion on that item and should not be part of the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting of the discussion of that item has ended. Proceedings of the meeting will be audio and visual recorded, except for Council considering any exempt matters. Members should remember that the microphone or continuing system, if your microphone is lit red and you have precedence, flashing green is next in queue and then solid green. Please do not press your microphone button again when it is lit red or you will lose your place in the queue. There may be some members in attendance virtually, and it has been agreed that all members of the chamber are brought in to speak on the issue before any of the delegates. Therefore, if you've been attending remotely, please use the chat facility to indicate you wish to speak, and I will bring members in once all those within the chamber. There has been a request for an emergency motion to this motion this evening. This will require suspension of standing order 16.1 by a qualified majority vote, which means 80% of those members present in voting. This will be dealt with when motions are being discussed. So, thank you. Any apologies?
Yeah, Chair, we have apologies from councillors. Mr. Brennan's here. Councillor Devlin, Councillor Enright, and Councillor Tinley. And Councillor Gibbons.
Chair, I have apologies from Councillor Decca Murphy, Councillor McFoy, Councillor Howard.
Councillor Liz.
An apology from Councillor Howard as well.
At the chair.
Yeah, Councillor Finn and Andrews.
Thank you. Okay, so. Thank you, as I said, this is my first official meeting, so thank you all for being here tonight. Since I stepped into the role of council, the chair of council, I've been privileged to represent our district and its people visiting a variety of events and community groups that showcase the best of our people and our council. This past month, I've been delighted to attend the vibrant Wicajan Tourism Festival in Warren Point. The event once again showcased the creativity of the spirit of our local communities, while underlining the growing importance of tourism to our district's economy. It was a pleasure to see families and visitors alike join and suggest. Also had the opportunity to host a wide range of visiting groups, including local primary schools, young ambassadors, and community organizations. These visits are ahead of my role, offering the chance to engage directly with those who are shaping the future of our district, whether through education, civic engagement, or grassroots action. Throughout my term as chair, I want to focus on young people and communities, and the core of that work and deliver as well as honoured a number of local events in the past few weeks. A particular highlight was in Mary Street in Kilkeel, a remarkable cross community organisation led by passionate volunteers who provide essential services and support to the local people. Their dedication and commitment are a true example of communities for community action. Another significant milestone this month was the announcement of the Mary Morning Down Local Draft Strategy Development Plan. This long-term vision sets out our framework for sustainable growth, improved infrastructure, and strengthening communities across the district. I'm proud to play a part in this launch and support the planning that will shape the region of our future for generations to come. I'd also like to make note of another positive interagency meeting that was held in Newry, surrounding the flooding in 2023. But however, it was agreed at the meeting that there was a lack of council representation there, and I hope that moving forward, we will hopefully have some representatives helping address this issue. As I continue throughout the year, I look forward to visit groups and organizations from the ongoing work that makes Mary Morning Down history such a special and incredible place to live. Thank you. So, declaration of interest. Oh. action seat arose from council meeting held on the 2nd of June 2025. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, 5. There we go. Who's the seconder? Councillor Butts.
In relation to the Irish Gateway signings that was discussed and agreed at the last meeting, it then had to do with
Is this on the action sheet?
Well, last action sheet we discussed
in the second shift.
The last council meeting. So I'm just happy to withdraw my comment in relation to the criticism not put in the consultation and to the report. In relation to our calling that was sent in, and obviously every councillor here got a copy of that calling, and only six of the all six unionists signed that, and we didn't get obviously the seven needed. There are outstanding procedural issues on that calling sheet. We would ask the chief executive's advice on how those procedures can be looked at, because it shouldn't be the case that legitimate concerns by unionists about procedural irregularities only get looked at if there's enough political weight to have them looked at by a solicitor.
Chair, in relation to the call-in process that's set within legislation, and it's determined within the Local Government Act, I'll certainly pick that up with the November chapter.
Yeah, well, that has the matter. Yeah. Who's our second? Councillor Murphy. Councillor Murphy. A seconder.
Councillor.
Thank you, Councillor. Moving on, minutes of the annual general meeting held on 2nd of June 2025. With room for accuracy. Page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6. Proposer and second for accuracy. Councillor Murphy. Seconder. Councillor Mather, thank you. Any matters arising? Yeah, thank you. Minutes of the council meeting on the 2nd of June 2025 for approval. So in the game. Page 1, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Proposed by Councillor Hanlon.
Proposed by Councillor Hanlon. Any second? Councillor Larkin. Any matters arising? No? Thank you. Moving on to committee minutes for consideration. That's the Economy, Raising Regeneration and Tourism Committee, held on the next June 2025. Can we get for accuracy? Page 1. Page 2. Page 2. Page 2. Page 4. Page 5. Page 6. Page 7. Page 8. We're proposing a seconder, please. Councillor Lee Sargentner. Councillor Carter.
Yeah, question.
Question.
Councillor Ron.
Councillor Ron second. Councillor Martin.
Yeah, that's sure. And before I ask a question, I know I should ask again, you know, as chair. Sure, you've got the ability here. On page 3, under the ERT business plans, and there was a question raised around the tourism strategy, and it's been 2 years since we've had all the workshops. The consultants and we were planning a team back in 2023. And at that time, the time frame was to have a promise for this year with the new brand. I understand that the update on that meeting is the work is ongoing and the new brand will be delivered by the end of this year and be ready for next year. So can I ask for the work that has been done to date and a timetable, maybe to be brought back to the next ERT committee the timetable of doing the branding will come in front of us. And that includes the website. We talked about using the hashtags of Sedona as well, instead of being on the hashtag visit forms that people are getting. So just to cut that off, questions coming from the public that are genuine questions, that we have a time frame to say what the brand is through. And I know we're at the public consultation, right? So that came back through the committee in terms of the branding that we have attained. So if it does say September, October, have that back. And can I just ask then, that throughout this season, that we'll put on events in the Sleep Volume area that we use the real hashtags. I know we have our own brand that's still being changed over, but we recognise as a government as well. This is similar.
Yeah, Chair, I got up with the director to our the August.
Okay. Item 7 on the agenda, minutes of the Strategy Policy and Resource Committee meeting held on 12 June 2025. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11, page 12. Can I have a proposer and a seconder, please? Councillor Allen, Councillor Rennick, second. Any matters arising?
Yeah.
Councillor
Chairman, it was just on the Kilkenny Lower Square and Riverwalky Ice Cream. We had meetings with NI Water in the past whereby they said that they were going to remove the concrete manhole structure from the river, but that inhibits any work being done there to improve the aesthetics of that area. And it seems now that the Northern Ireland Water are going to go in and refurbish that and reline the pipe. And I would like an urgent meeting, Chairman, with the NI Water to discuss what's going on there, because we're going to be spending money on a consultant to do the Riverwalk scheme on the Lower Square environmental improvement scheme. And we should be tying them together and not going off tangents from one another. Mr. Chairman, if we could organise it, maybe just the Morris DEA, if we could even do it through that, but it's important that we do, because we're talking about starting work now in the end of July, and we're going out to consult, to appoint a consultant at the end of July.
Chair, I'll raise that with the officer who is leading that. I will raise that with the officer who is leading on that project.
That's okay.
Thanks very much, Chair. And just, first of all, to congratulate yourselves on the position, wishing the best of luck for the year ahead. I'm sure they do a great job. Just in relation to the Uree Canal restoration works on Block 6, firstly, just to say to officers, I'm very, very grateful for that work been done. It's a vital piece of the puzzle for the restoration of Uree Canal and allowing it to be utilised by, you know, the likes of stand-up paddleboards, canoeing and other such recreational activities. But just on the back of that agenda item, I was hoping to make a proposal that officers could put together a paper scoping out the scale of works and the cost required to undertake similar restoration works from blocks 2 through to 8. So that's a proposal. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator, for your proposal. Second. Someone. Is everybody in agreement? Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Councillor. Lads of Active Healthy and Communities Committee held on the 16th of June 2025. For accuracy, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6. Could I have a proposal and seconder, please? If Councillor Sargent. Second.
Yes.
A seconder for the minutes.
Councillor Jackson.
Councillor Jackson.
Need a seconder.
Seconder for the minutes. No.
So from those councillors that lost the meeting, you need a seconder. So we need a seconder from those councillors who were in attendance at the Active and Healthy Communities Committee meeting.
So we're sort of
active and healthy communities committee.
And Martin Horizon, Councillor Jackson.
Thank you, thank you, Chair. Yeah, just in response to the AEC minutes regarding the Council of Sanctuary, just following on from the concerns that we expressed in the committee, we as the EP group would continue to have the same concerns and still would be very concerned that this charter might encourage illegal immigrants to come to this country. It could actually create a barrier to the lawful and justified removal of those who do come here illegally and who pose a threat to law and order and our citizens within the community. There are people right across our community with genuine concerns about the impact of illegal and uncontrolled immigration and the impact that that is having within their communities. We have had enormous correspondence from all sections of the community on this issue. And anyone that ignores or denies that there is no issue with immigration in this country is simply not living in reality. So we would therefore will not be supporting the Council of Sanctuary and will be voting against it. Thank you, Chair.
Are you making a proposal for a proposal on your what are you proposing that you don't support, that the council don't support the city of sanctuary?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so you need a seconder for that.
Yeah.
I'll just second.
Councillor Lewis.
Councillor Lewis.
And recorder.
We'll record a vote. Yeah.
Can you speak before we go to vote?
Yeah.
Yeah. Councillor
Byrne, if you want to
come in.
Oh,
sorry.
Johnny, yeah, if you
change.
Councillor Byrne?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. The paper state of the AFC was quite generic and broad, and it had the right effect in terms of Erie being an open and welcoming city. This council, Erie Mordown, being open and welcoming. I understand the questions that councillors are getting by email, and Councillor Jackson's talking about. And there are questions out there because of the unknown of what it means. And I just want to make it clear that it was to walk towards the formal recognition of the Council of Sanctuary. So I request that we've only initiated the process. It was 250 by an application to initiate the process. But the information of what it entails, the resources that would be expected from the council, what we sign up to in terms of a charter, that is all brought back. Because I know, well, from looking through, I won't access to it, but the charter wasn't uploaded. And when you have a void of information or a vacuum of information, people then add and think it is more than it is. And it is really just saying that we are open, inclusive and welcoming as a city. If there are resources to be put there, we need to do that before it gets to the accreditation stage, which means 1,500 accreditation later on. So this is starting the process. So the council to put the intent that they would like to be a council of sanctuary, but it has to come back to the committee or through this council of what that means and meeting the bones before we go any further in the accreditation process. And those questions will be answered for the people. I think we go out and reverse a decision, which is right in principle. Before we get that information, we're sending out mixed messages. So if people do have genuine questions, they will be answered as we go through the process. And I'd ask for a paper to come back to the AHC outlining what that process is before a revision. Last proposal.
Councillor Taylor's on the line. Sorry, it's Councillor Hart.
That's
right. Councillor Hart,
Councillor Hart.
To say that we totally agree with what Councillor Bourne is after proposing, and we would be aligned to have the same result come.
Councillor Rennick.
Yes, thanks, Chairman. Chairman, Sanctuary City, the perception that it creates can lead to big influxes of refugees and migrants. I think what Councillor Jackson has highlighted is exactly right. There is a lot of concern within the general community. My inbox, phone calls, Facebook messages, mostly from Uri, South Armagh area, of people who are very, very concerned about this. And I think we have to remember, under Section 75 of the 1998 Northern Ireland Act, it's illegal for any council or body to treat a particular
their ethnic group or religious group with favoritism or preference. So you need to be very, very careful about this. You can do it in GB, but I don't believe you can do this legally in Northern Ireland under the 98 Act. But certainly the concerns that this has caused within the community, if it's as benign as what some people are saying, what's the point of doing it? There's no point in doing that if it's completely benign and not going to impact the local community. Whereas by doing it, you are potentially creating the perception among the migrant community, many of them who are coming here illegally, that this is a welcoming place for them and they'll be able to take them in with open arms. And that's going to put pressure on a whole range of services. And I think it's where the council's wrong to introduce this at this time. Thank you.
Councillor Taylor.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Chair, a bit like other councillors, I've received numerous calls and emails over the last probably week or more since the council took forward a position. I'm obviously not on the committee that it was decided upon, and certainly I would like a lot more information about what this actually entails before offering any support to a proposal like this. So I think we should take the time to find out exactly what the extent of this, what the implications are, and what it actually entails before we move forward to make any final decision on it. So that's my position on it at this moment in time.
Thank you, Councillor Taylor.
Thank you. We would absolutely support Councillor Byrne's proposal there. And also, we would be a place for education, because the fact that the terms refugee, migrants, and illegal immigrants are being bandied about in the wrong context, there's definitely a need for a piece of education to be done there. Thank you.
Great.
Yeah, just in relation to Councillor Riley's comments, the City of Sanctuary is something that has been taken on board by a number of other councils in Northern Ireland, including Belfast City Council, Mid Ulster Council, and the Queen's University, and a number of schools as well. The purpose of the City of Sanctuary is to encourage inclusivity, solidarity and compassion for people from a forced displacement background, i.e. people who've lived with lived experience of the asylum system. And it really means, as a local authority, we'd be committed to being welcoming and fairly everyone in the community, so it is to everyone in the community. The process involves us making that formal promise, and as Councillor Burns referred, you know, we would be bringing information and paper back to the Act for Healthy Communities Committee.
Yeah, Councillor Jackson, you still want to receive your proposal?
Yes.
Okay, we'll go to the report of functions.
Okay, Councillor Andrews, staff, and Councillor Bowsey. Councillor Brennan.
Or.
So, Johnny, if you read yours, if you just read it again, what they're going for?
If you do it, you're back from John.
Just what you're asking people to vote for or against them.
Yeah, thank you, Sharon. We're just proposing we don't accept the officer's report on the council sanction, so we'll vote against them.
Against.
Okay.
Johnny.
Again, Councillor Jackson,
of course. Councillor Byrne?
Yes.
Councillor Campbell?
Against.
Councillors Clark, Devlin and Enright are apologies. Councillor Fain? Councillor Finn's an apology. Councillor LeBret?
Yes.
Councillor Gibbons is an apology. Councillor Hanlon?
Yes.
Councillor Hanna is an apology. Councillor Hart? Absent. Councillor Hardy?
Yes.
Councillor Howell and High are apologies. Councillor Jackson?
Four.
Councillor Kearns?
Yes.
Councillor King?
Yes.
Councillor Larkin?
Yes.
Councillor Lee Searchener?
Yes.
Councillor Lewis?
Four.
Councillor McGuinness?
Against.
Councillor Mathers?
Yes.
Councillor McAteer? Councillor McAvoy's absent. Councillor O'Hare?
Against.
Councillor Declan Murphy's absent. Councillor Kate Murphy.
Against.
Councillor Selena Murphy.
Against.
Councillor Quinn.
Against.
Councillor Riley.
For.
Councillor Rice. Councillor Wan. Councillor Shargan. Councillor Taylor.
For.
Councillor Tinley's absent. Councillor Truesdale. Councillor Young. I have 5, 4 and 23 against.
Motion calls. Councillor Burns.
Yeah. Move on the microphones.
Yeah. Chair. Yeah.
You can get a report of the proposal is bring paper back because obviously it was brought around because of Councillor Sanctuary. And that has created some fear across the district. And I recognise the questions of phone. Henry, you said that the perception it creates. And that's why my proposal was not go on perception and vote this down because of perception, but take back exactly what it means. And when you say that it may be the name must fight Dermot, we lay up council buildings to try and show solidarity and advocacy for certain charities and certain conditions. Must fight is the name. It's for us holding out a hand of friendship to people. Now, if it does commit council in sort of end line to resources, that we need to know that before we get to the accreditation stage. So I was asking that we don't vote something down because of perception it creates in the public, but we answer the genuine questions that people have while also showing compassion and solidarity to people out there. So the proposal is to bring a paper back to next committee meeting outlining what actually signs up the council for, including the charter for the Council of Sanctuary, which was included on the information pack, and that will alleviate any concerns that people have out there.
Thank you, Councillor Burton. We'll record a vote.
Okay, hey, Councillor Andrews, absent. Councillor Bowsey?
Yes.
Councillor Brennan?
Four.
Councillor Byrne?
Four.
Councillor Campbell?
Four.
Councillors Clark, Devlin, Enright are absent. Councillor Fain? Councillor Finn is absent. Councillor Gilbreth? Councillor Gibbons is absent. Councillor Hanlon?
Four.
Councillor Hanlon, Hannah is absent. Councillor Hart?
Four.
Councillor Hardy? Councillor Howell is now absent. Councillor Jackson? Councillor Kearns? Councillor King? Councillor Larkin?
Four.
Councillor Lee Searchner?
Four.
Councillor Lewis? Councillor McGuinness?
Four.
Councillor Mathers? Councillor McAteer? Councillor McAvoy's absent. Councillor O'Hare?
Four.
Councillor Declan Murphy's absent. Councillor Kate Murphy? Councillor Selena Murphy?
Four.
Councillor Quinn?
Four.
Councillor Riley?
Yes.
Councillor Rice?
Four.
Councillor Wan? Councillor Shargan?
Four.
Councillor Taylor?
Four.
Councillor Tinley's absent. Councillor Truesdale? Councillor Young. I have 25, 4 and 4 against.
So it's accepted. Let's move on. No matters arising. Okay, moving on to the Minister of State Building and Environment Committee meeting, held on the 18th of June. Three, yes, actually. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And can I have a proposal and a seconder, please?
Councillor Larkin and Councillor.
She's the former proposal and seconder at the moment. Yeah. Any matters arising? Matters arising. Yeah. And section.
No items.
We have moved on to item 11 on the agenda. It's correspondence report. Items for noting from 11.1 to 11.6.
Second.
And 11.7 is for decision. Councillor Hallam?
Yeah, if I could just comment on 11.1 from the response from the South Eastern Health and Social Trust. Just would like to note Sinn Féin's disappointment with the response from the Trust. I suppose if we look at the success of the petition, that has been circulated from the Down Health Committee. It really does demonstrate the depth of concern in the local community and wider about the perceived reduction in services at the Down. So although the wax lyrical that they're continuation of services and they're bringing more services in, it does seem to be translating into cold hard reality. I think the correspondence from the Trust is completely dismissive of the voice of local. And hopefully when the petition is submitted that they will look at that in more detail and try and take on the concerns of the people of this district. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Hannah. Councillor Brett.
Thanks, Chair. And again, just to wish you well for the year ahead. So on item 11.1, the funding response to the Trust, I want to express my disappointment with the minimal response we've received from the Chief Executive regarding the future of the Down. It's unacceptable that we are continually told that there are no plans to reunite the department, despite repeated calls from the council here or even those in our community. Even more concerning is the lack of response and how the Down Hospital is being classified within the wider Future Buffalo reconfiguration policy. This sense is not just disrespectful, but it leaves our community in the dark with future critical healthcare services. Therefore, I'd like to propose this evening that we agree as a council to write formally once again to the Chief Executive of the Trust, but this time we must go further. We ask for clear consideration to enhance services at the Down Hospital, not just to maintain the status quo, because the people of this area deserve clarity, respect, and above all, access to appropriate emergency and acute health care so strongly. Next.
Thank you, Councillor Red, the seconder for your proposal. That's a chart. Everyone in agreement? Okay. Yeah, thank you. Councillor Lewis?
Chair, yes, it's just on item number 11.7, I think, about the 110th anniversary of the 10th Parish Division at Gallipoli. Just ask, could the officers take this back and have a look at what the days and dates that the initial commemorations were taken place on, because there's probably a more better valued way that that could be done if it's run along the same lines as the trip over to the saw and use, rather than in paying £1,600 a person and going for the same whole week, that they're likely more economical way that it'd be organised up perhaps.
Okay. Is that for that, Councillor Lewis? Councillor Rennick?
Yeah.
Is everyone in agreement?
Yeah.
Councillor Hart?
Sorry, it's actually.
Oh, sorry, Councillor Bison.
Know that there's still no response from the National Trust. Is it fair to say that they're refusing to meet the council over the gondola?
They haven't come back yet, so it would be unfair to say anything.
They were. She was on. She was
2 months now.
She was. She was on holidays, and we were trying to coordinate dates. So
they have. Just, I do want to iron this out. Was Robert up last time? So they have responded to that invitation.
Yeah. So she has responded in terms of saying that she will come to meet the council. We're just trying to formulate a date. She was off on holidays, and then we're trying to. Slot them in July or August.
Councillor
Hart? It's just on 11.7 for the Gallipoli Peninsula. It's just, whilst we agree in principle, we would like to see further information as well on the costings, etc. And just for the fact, is it one person invited or is it a number of people? Just that
you could need to lose out those values in the month. Okay, Councillor Hart, are we in agreement with Councillor Lewis' proposal?
So we would suggest we bring the paper back to August, SPNR, which will give us time, and then we'll work up costs and stuff. Is that okay?
Councillor Lewis, you have it?
Yeah.
Thank you. Can I move? Councillor Hart?
Chair, just on that, the letter tells states to respond by the 31st of July.
Yeah, so.
And did we not have a process for events of such? Is there not a process of how these are meant to be managed for any conferences or events to be handled, but seem to be diverting out of that process.
So that process is probably more for conferences. These kinds of anniversary things have always been dealt with slightly differently. But what we would suggest doing is we would bring a report to the SPNR with the costings. I think the cost of those, the ones that are coming forward, are usually a lot more than if we sort of organise everything separately, which is what we've done for the song visits in the past as well.
So to that point, we don't have to respond to the 31st of July because we will be doing individual programs.
Have you not that, Councillor Sharma?
Yeah.
Okay, moving on to item 12, Nature, and there was a motion, Nature and Action Plan. Councillor Hannah, let's begin. We can tell us your second, please.
Thank you. Seconded by Councillor Rice. This council finds the current proposals out for consultation by the Deira Minister for the Nature and Action Plan unacceptable. The current proposals would decimate the local farming industry. We call on the Minister to collaborate with farmers rather than punish farmers, and call on the Deira to continue to invest in new technologies to improve farming practices, remove phosphates, and work together collegiately to improve our environment, rivers and walks. Can we just speak to the motion? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so Sinn Féin has raised these concerns for the proposal set out in the Nutrient Action Programme, currently out for public consultation. I do note that there has been some progress since submitting the motion. However, Sinn Féin's concerns are still relevant. I have met recently with representatives for local farmers, and for these proposals, and for many of these proposals to reduce the pay balance to 8 kg, per hectare from 2029 would force them to either reduce their livestock or increase the amount of land they farm. This could put many farmers out of business, impacting the rural and wider economy. Concerns have also been raised that DERA is aligning the NAP proposals with the UK Fertiliser Manual, which was previously rejected here as it failed to take into account of local farmers have a vital role to play in protecting our waterways, but they need to be properly supported to do that. And the timelines currently set out would be very difficult for many farmers. Whilst new technologies such as the Sustainable Use of Livestock Slurry Project are showing promising results, it's relatively new and not yet in widespread use. Likewise, DERA has linked the NAP proposal to the Soil Nutrient Health Scheme, which is not as yet completed across the north. The NAP review proposals for the mandatory use of the low emission slurry spreading equipment by 2030 is also hugely challenging. Most LESSE equipment is not accessible or affordable, especially for small hill farmers in the areas of natural constraint. So Sinn Féin will propose tonight that this council writes the Deira Minister and raise these concerns directly with him. And the Minister needs to listen to the real concerns of farmers to ensure the NAP is effective and deliverable so that we can protect and strongly encourage people to make their views known on the NAP review in the public consultation, which is now extended to the 24th of July.
Thank you, Councillor Holland. Councillor Rice.
Let me just turn off the microphone.
Councillor Holland, to you.
Yeah, you're okay.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Partly the second, Councillor Holland's motion. These proposals, as we've already heard, good risk putting farms out of business, has been said. Farmers are not just fighting to protect waterways, but they're also fighting stakeholders and protecting our rural habitat. So, strongly encourage everyone to share their views on this through the public consultation of the NAP review before it closes 24th of July. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Rice. Councillor Jackson. Thank you, Chair. Yeah, we'll be supporting this motion. As a DEP group, we're also calling on Minister Muir to urgently withdraw the current clear of the consultation on the Nutrients Action Programme. For too long, our farmers have been made environmental scapegoats. This consultation failed to deal with the real issues and risks that's crippling our farmers. There's deep and growing concern across the farming and agri-food sector about the direction of this consultation. The proposals on the table would do real damage to local agriculture, risking jobs, cutting livestock numbers and threatening Northern Ireland's ability to produce food. They spell disaster not just for our family farms but for our wider economy. Farmers and producers are already under huge pressure. They want to be part of the solution when it comes to protecting our environment, but they need a fair and workable plan, not one that feels more like punishment than partnership. The Minister needs to realise that this is not about ignoring environmental responsibilities. It's about finding a sensible way forward, one that protects our countryside and supports the people who work hard every day to feed us. Calculations show that farmers will potentially need more than twice their current acreage to comply with story spreading rules. This is unrealistic and will inevitably force farms to reduce livestock numbers. Beef and sheep farms will be driven out of business as a compulsory use of low emission slurry spreading equipment by 2030 is beyond financial viability. This is frankly unacceptable to force this just unjust burden upon our farmers, the backbone of Northern Ireland's food supply chain. And can I just add, our MLA, Michelle McLevin, has launched the petition against this. And I think it was handed in yesterday, 5,032 names on against this, against these proposals. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor. Thank you, Councillor Jackson. Councillor Redd?
Yes, thanks to Councillor Hanlon for bringing this motion forward. Very, very important at this time. Chairman, the Minister, he seems to be trying to give the impression that farmers are responsible for dirty water, whenever that is completely untrue. He ignores the role of NI Water and the sewage works and the treatment plants and how ineffective they become. And it's penalising small farmers. And if you look at Nearly Morn and Down, the number of small farmers there are, they are very proactive farmers and have increased their livestock numbers over the years. They're the ones that will get clobbered. Pig farmers are often farmers who have quite intensive livestock facilities, and because they don't have land to farm otherwise, and those people will be hit 80% if the not proposal to go through as they are at the present time. 80% of pig farmers in Northern Ireland go out of business. That's a colossal hit to the Northern Ireland economy. There's also conflicting and unclear information about what's actually being proposed. And then there's a failure of the Department of Agriculture to properly engage with farmers and stakeholders. There's no access to any of the support data that the department's meant to have for people like me, or any independent people that are consultants in the agri-business that cannot get access to the data that some of these proposals are being based on. And the worst thing of all is the absence of any economic impact assessment. It's just incredible that a minister would bring forward proposals like this. And I'm hopeful that Sinn Féin, SDLP, Ulster Unionists, DUP will stop this within the Assembly. If the Alliance Party have no interest in the farming industry whenever they're prepared to put these things on the table. The last Agri Minister, Edmund Poots, is a farmer, an active farmer, and he was bringing forward sensible proposals on these issues, whereas now we have a man who has no interest or knowledge of farming or fishing industries, and they're making a mess of it. Chairman. So I'm 100% behind Councillor Hanlon of bringing this motion to Council tonight.
Thank you, Councillor Reddy. Councillor Truesdale?
Thank you, Chair. We firmly oppose this motion, firstly because the Fulham Indian Network understands the urgency for action, and secondly because some of the points within it are already happening, as Councillor Hanlon alluded to. We all want good quality produce, good soil health, reduced inputs, a healthy ecosystem, clean air and clean water. And that, my dear, launched a consultation into the Nutrient Action Plan, which was originally introduced in 2007, under Sinn Féin and followed by three DUP ministers. The dear minister announced last week that water pollution measures will be evaluated by an independent group, including farmers, environmental groups and agri-food representatives, before going out for a second consultation. DIRA has also since published an addendum external to the consultation document clarifying some issues and correcting some inconsistencies. There's got to be regulations for agriculture as part of the Loch Nye Action Plan to improve water quality across Northern Ireland, because poor water quality in Northern Ireland has been attributed to 62% of agriculture, 24% of wastewater and 12% of pesticides. We cannot sit still over this. Education and incentivisation is needed, but also stronger regulation
and more enforcement because 40% of agricultural babies have too much phosphorus. So difficult decisions should have been taken years ago, such as sorbate arrangements, but here we are. There's 28 proposals overall, 12 are new and 16 are strengthening existing measures. The Minister has already said, quote, it is highly unlikely that I will bring forward in terms of final proposals of what is going to be set out in the what has been set out in the consultation, unquote. That is the point of the consultation. There is collaboration, there is evaluation. Farmers are not being punished. They're being asked to play their part in the recovery process and serious legal environmental obligations. But it's not just farmers. There is an urgent need to invest in our wastewater infrastructure. Generally, with Northern Ireland Water in particular, ladies play its role and given a significant contribution to water pollution as well. The DFI Minister needs to step up to the mark on this. Water quality is a serious cause for concern, especially when other parties only pay lip service to the need to improve it, such as voting against their attempt to remove the cap on penalties for repeat polluters. And just what Councillor Riley was saying, I grew up on a dairy farm, so I understand a little bit about the instability and precariousness of farming. Now, that's a long time ago, and in those days it was with nature that we farmed, but things have changed, intensified and industrialised, and we now appear to be in a nature recovery phase. We cannot play in nature any longer, and it's not just farmers, it's all of us, from producer to consumer, we all have a part to play. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Truesdale. Councillor Sharp.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Chair, most around the Chamber have noted that the Newton's Action Programme was designed to reduce agricultural pollution and to meet legal obligations under the Water Framework Directive. But despite it being in place since 2007, we have seen water quality deteriorate in recent years, particularly in Loch Ney, where Newton's runoff is fueled dangerous algae blooms. I'd say across this chamber, surely, that we would agree that something needs to be done, but must be fair, workable, and based in genuine partnership with farmers tackling the challenges facing water quality. It's been said, and it's important to say again, farmers are stewards of our land and a vital part of the solution, and it's extremely important that their concerns are heard and that they are real and must be listened to. But we also must be true to ourselves that we can't ignore the scale of the water quality crisis and action is overdue. The SDLP is continuously highlighting the need for a dedicated agricultural water quality working group, a financial incentives, advice and education, not just regulation, and a support package that mirrors the South's response, including water quality advisors, substantial grant funding for low admission, spreading and slurry storage. The best way is a balanced, fair solution by providing support to farmers to transition to practices that maintain profitability while improving water quality across the north. And Chair, I think it's really important to seek clarity around the motion, because whenever you read it, I'm assuming, Councillor Hannon, you're not suggesting what happened in the Assembly where the consultation should be ended and no consultation should be completed. Do you agree that it's important that all voices are heard through consultation and the consultation actually be carried out? Because at the Assembly, the vote was that no consultation should happen. And we in the SDLP would not be supportive of any consultation being stopped, because we think it's important that all voices are heard, and even more important that all voices are heard, because it informs the Minister, the Executive, the Assembly, and everyone across the North of what is the feeling and what is the right course of action. So it would be important to seek that clarity.
Thank you,
Councillor
Sharp, Councillor Hanlon.
Well, yeah, I suppose I did speak to that we have moved on significantly since the motion went through the Assembly. And, you know, I do welcome that Minister Moore actually listened to the public and then he came out with his task and his engagement group or to be able to set up a task and finish group. So, absolutely, we need to have consultation with those people that know exactly how it's going to impact them and what the
what they need, because I met with local farmers, I heard them loud and clear of what they wanted. It's not that they want to not be environmentally friendly, they just want to have something that's going to work for them and to make sure that they have sustainability for family farms going down the line and for the generations to come after them.
Thank you, Councillor Hanlon. Councillor Taylor?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Chair, listen, I just want to offer my support to the motion as well. It's been brought forward tonight by Councillor Hanlon, and I thank her for presenting this to the Chamber this evening. There are genuine concerns about these nutrient action plan proposals, and certainly, you know, I would draw a comparison, you know, in terms of the responses that there has been in regard to this issue to being something similar to what there was about the changes to the inheritance tax, that, you know, that also shook confidence in the farming sector, across the farming sector as well. And, you know, the level of concern that we're hearing from farmers is striking, and it's certainly no surprise. They have just come through one major threat to generational farming with that inheritance tax issue, and now there's another wave of fear and around the sustainability and viability for the sector. So, you know, if we are truly serious about improving water quality and protecting our environment, then it must be done so together. And that means working with farmers and not against them. You know, it's very clear that farmers obviously are the backbone of our rural economy, have an important part to play in Northern Ireland, the Northern Ireland economy, and are the stewards of our landscape. So they deserve respect and partnership and policies that they can realistically actually implement. So change must be realistic and supported. So I certainly support the proposal that's been brought forward tonight by Councillor Hanlon, and I hope that the Minister does listen to the genuine concerns that there are on this issue.
Thank you, Councillor Taylor. So moving forward, we don't have agreement in the Chamber on the proposals. But show of hands for.
People online, if you just let ask the people online to indicate that they're sure.
People online, can you indicate if you're for or against the proposals?
Councillor Taylor, for.
For Councillor Murphy. For Councillor McGuinness. For Councillor O'Hare.
For Councillor Clark.
For.
Those against? Those against? Any abstentions?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, Councillor Clemens, for as well.
Unless motion passed. Councillor Hammond, let's sum up.
Yeah, I'll be brief. I just want to thank the Chamber for the support from the DUP and Councillor Taylor this evening. Thank you.
Before we move on, can we have a proposer and a seconder for the correspondence? Councillor Hannah? Second, Councillor Marker. Thank you. Okay, moving on to the emergency notice of motion. LEM standard orders, this will now be forwarded to Council. That's been qualified, sorry, apologies. That's been qualified majority vote.
80%. There has to be a qualified majority vote to 80% of those present and voting. So Sarah will do like a roll call.
No, it has to be recorded.
Oh, sorry, recorded vote.
Okay. Councillor Andrews absent. Councillor Bowser. Councillor Brennan. Councillor Byrne. Councillor Campbell.
Four.
Councillor Clark.
Four.
Councillor Devlin and Enright are absent. Councillor Fahim. Councillor Finn's absent. Councillor O'Brien. Councillor Gibbons absent. Councillor Hanlon. Councillor Hannah is absent. Councillor Hart. Councillor Hardy. Councillors Howell and Howie are absent. Councillor Jackson. Councillor Kearns. Councillor King.
Four.
Councillor Larkin.
Four.
Councillor Lee Surgener.
Four.
Four.
Councillor Lewis.
Four.
Councillor McGuinness.
Four.
Councillor Mathers.
Four.
Councillor McAteer. Councillor McAvoy's absent. Councillor O'Hare.
Four.
Councillor Declan Murphy's absent. Councillor Kate Murphy. Councillor Selena Murphy.
Four.
Councillor Quinn.
Four.
Councillor Riley. Councillor Rice. Councillor Wan.
Four.
Councillor Sheridan.
Four.
Councillor Taylor.
Four.
Councillor Chinley's absent. Councillor Treesdale. Councillor Young. So I have 34, so that passes.
So that's passed. Councillor O'Rourke, would you like to speak your motion? That was for a second, please.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Thanks for your support for second it. But this council condemns in the strongest possible terms the ongoing and escalating negative impact that storage, handling, household ESP retain of 1.4 to having on people of 1.5 and surrounding areas. Highlights the deep concern the serious and persistent deterioration in environmental and public health conditions, including overwhelming borders, an increased presence of flies and vermin. Notes that these conditions are not only a major nuisance, but represent a growing public health risk to residents, particularly those living in close proximity to the port. Big families with young children and vulnerable individuals further condemns the reappearance of these unacceptable environmental nuisances during the recent refugee festival. The event central to the district's cultural and tourism offering, and was the likely disruption to other summer festivals and community activities should this issue remain unresolved. Asserts that the ongoing presence of RDF waste in a densely populated residential and recreational area is wholly inappropriate and has resulted in residents being forced to endure foul smells and inability to open windows, dry outdoor spaces or long-term illnesses without disruption. Warns that 1.6 economic prosperity, social well-being and long-term reputation are under serious threat, immediate action is not taken to end this situation, which has persisted now for over 2 years. We agree to write urgently to the Chair of the One Pine Harbour Authority Board, the Minister for Agriculture, Environment and Rural Affairs, Andrew Moore, MLA, and the Chief Executive of the NI Environmental Agency, to make clear this Council's position that the handling and storage of RDF waste in such close proximity to homes, community and public spaces is unacceptable and unsuitable, and calls on them to initiate formal discussions with Regen. Just to say, Chair, that this is not a major reaction to the most recent smells that were obvious in the town. This has been on for a number of years. I know myself and my colleagues have met with One Pine Harbour Authority. We've met with Regen and we've met with both of them together. And at the very outset, we said to them that if they can't come up with a solution to this issue, that at some stage we would have to call for the RDF waste to be removed from the board if they can't deal with the issue at hand. People are disappointed that it's still there. They're angry that it's still there. Angry that it's still interrupting the lives of the people in Mourne Point. And as you said at the start of the meeting in relation to the recent Great Design Festival, how successful it actually was, the number of people it brought to the town. But everybody commented on the smell that there was within the town because it was so obvious everybody could smell it, you know. And that's very unfortunate. The very fact that we have the Ulster Flav coming to One Point for the first time in a long time, in less than a couple of weeks' time, and the thought that over that period of the 4 days that it's on, that we would have to deal with this here again. When we're getting visitors who probably haven't been to One Point before, and what you want to do when you get them there is you want them to come back. But if they're going to come to the town, and they're going to have to deal with the smell that is so obvious around the town, and the opposite impact. Now, the other thing I would say too is that from the outset, we have given space and time to both the Harbour Authority and to Regen to come up with solutions to this here. They have not done that there. We have met with them and we have stated our case for them. Unlike some who I would say that all they do is seem to shout about this issue, go on Facebook and voice their opposition to it. But they never actually go and meet with those who are responsible for it, actually state their case on behalf of the people who want to. And that's what we've done from the outset. We've represented the people who voted us in relation to this issue. So I just ask everybody to support the motion of the Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Ron. Councillor Reddick.
The
Yeah, Chairman, the smell in one point is atrocious. I would just point out that it's actually one of our former councillors, Minister Kinnan, who is responsible for the port, so it'd be important to put her into this directly. Chairman, can I just point out, Minister O'Dowd, for the first time since the court was created, there was no unionist appointed onto that board, and look what's happened. It's just gone downhill ever since. But certainly the people at one point do not deserve to be treated in such a way. And there's got to be something could be done there. Why can it not be stored in an area well away from a populated area? It just doesn't seem sensible to have it right in the middle of such a densely populated area when it's given off such bad odours. And my heart goes out to the people at the point. I pulled in there one day to get a chip and I got in, there's a back in the jar and away. So it's definitely a deterrent to visitors from wherever coming. But as Minister, it means that you would need to write to.
Thank you, Councillor
Wren.
Councillor
Sharon. Thank you, Chair. Chair, we fully agree with the sentiments of the motion, although given the shortness of time of receiving it, I would ask that we do take a recess of 15 minutes to allow parties to fully digest the wording. I think it's really important that we do fully take in the wording of the motion and that the Council's supporting alleviating the problems rather than adding to any further problems, because that there is some of the wording around close proximity to homes and communities that we would need to consider what does that mean on other sites across the district as well.
That's a term you have second that proposal for the recess. That's a theme. Okay, we have a recess. Okay. Everyone in agreement? Yeah. The 15-minute recess will be convened at 7:30.
Just make sure that people from home still hear us.
Everybody at home still hear us?
Yep.
Okay.
Thanks, sir. Yeah, sir. Just following discussion, just to clarify, after NIDEA that was amended to make clear this council position that the handling and storage RDF waste in Warren Point in close proximity to homes. So we're in Warren Point.
Okay.
Thank
you, Customer Max here.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And certainly be supporting with the votes for the body of the motion tonight. And just reflect back that we in March 24 we held a meeting with the harbour, with NAEA, and other bodies including Regen and maybe 18 months ago has passed, and this issue has still not gone away or been solved. And in my opinion, a port is a place of import and export, but not a place of long term storage, especially because of an oxygen waste. So there may be not be breaches of licensing conditions and situations in the situation in the harbour. However, 18 months passed since Waste Council last voiced our concerns, and in fact, it's over 2 years since this was flagged up as a major issue. That this remains a problem is totally unacceptable. So, can I ask that, in addition to writing to those that are named in the motion, that we do ask the harbour and those to come along and give us an update in the council, so as to be here firsthand what the situation actually is and what the proposals are, if any. I think we owe that as well to the people of the district at council level. So that's really what I have to say.
Okay, Councillor McTier, do you have a proposal or a second to that proposal?
Yes.
Councillor Charm?
Yes.
Councillor Rowland, do you accept that?
Okay,
Councillor
Mayor. Yeah, I just think that we should invite all those over here 18 months ago to give us an update. I think this council has to put its stamp on the issue as well.
Okay. Okay. Councillor Rowland?
Yeah, sure.
Sorry, hold on.
Okay,
go ahead now.
Yeah, sure. I have no issue with that there, but I think in the first instance what our motion is calling for is the NIEA, the minister responsible, and the Harbour Authority. At this moment in time, you know what the situation is, it hasn't improved. So I think they need to, we'd be better getting them in after they have met and come up with some sort of solution to this issue. But yeah, I have no issue with it.
Okay. Councillor Truesdale?
We wanted to ask for an amendment, which Councillor O'Reilly already said, but it didn't go as a proposal, to add in the DFI minister onto the list, as that particular minister has power to give directions to trust boards. So can I propose that?
You have seconded for proposal?
I'll second.
Sorry?
He didn't propose.
He
said it should have been up.
Do we have a seconded for that proposal? Councillor Young? Councillor Moran, do you accept the amendment to the proposal? The motion.
Again, sure, I have no issue with that there, but I would say that my colleagues had met with Mr. Muir back a year and a half ago, who's been aware of this issue since that there, and obviously I would press on them to make clear to him the urgency of that here to deal with this issue, as he isn't been responsible for NIEA.
The point that has come in to re-emphasise the need of that is it's not only a regen issue. You know, it's any materials that are being stored at the harbour that can cause an odour. And, you know, the example with Big the Giant was due to telegraph poles also being stored that caused an odour in the vicinity of Warren Point. So, I think it's really important that we do have them at hand to address all issues that have been highlighted, not just regen.
Thank you, Councillor Sharp. Councillor Bailey.
Just so we get some background, obviously this has been an ongoing issue. Councillor Ryan's head of it for a number of years, and has kind of taken the decision to step out of the board. So just wondering what is it that broke the camel's back?
Mr. Brown?
Thank you, Chair. I resigned from the board as a non-executive member on Friday, and the straw that broke the camel back, as you mentioned, was, in my opinion, there's no credible plan to resolve the issue. I've been there for just over 2.5 years now, and it's been there since day one, and I cannot see a credible plan to resolve the issue, and that's why I resigned.
Have we not, Councillor West? Okay,
Thanks
so, Taylor,
just online. Professor Taylor? Yeah, thanks, Chair. Just about a brief, because I know there's been quite a bit of discussion here. It's clear this issue has been going on for a number of years now, and I think just residents are at a point of despair at this stage about the fact that it hasn't been addressed in the way that they would have expected it to be. So I would certainly make an appeal for the Harbour Authority and the statutory agencies that are required to deal with this situation to get to the bottom of it once and for all and deal with it, because it's not acceptable for it to be anywhere, these type of issues arising. But, you know, certainly Warren Point's a key area in our district as well in terms of tourism and as well, so we should be making sure that's addressed in every way possible, and I think that hasn't happened to date. So the I think the residents fully deserve. It's impacting on their quality of life. It's impacting on the area generally. And I think they're well within their rights to ask for this to be addressed the way it should be. So I hope that the motion that's obviously agreed tonight, that will help, you know, emphasise that to them, and that they do finally address what's causing the problem, and ensure that it doesn't continue and never happens again. So happy to support it.
Thank you, Councillor Taylor. Councillor Rowan, said somewhat.
Yeah, sure. I'd just like to thank everyone for their comments, and again, just to state the fact that this has been ongoing for so long. There is an urgency for this to be dealt with, and this isn't something that we want to be long finger. And we call on Regan, we call on the Harbour Authority, we call on the NIEA to take this matter seriously, because to date they have not done that there. And they need to start taking it seriously, and they need to deal with it, and we need to stop it. Because people are fed up with it, and they're angry over it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Rowan. Thank you very much for this evening. Stay home.
Thank you.